America's national parks are popular, really popular. The park system logged over 320 million visits in 2019, and more people have turned to outdoor recreation during the pandemic. During the summer season, we're likely to run into crowds and traffic at our favorite parks. Our next guest says things have gotten out of control and a new agency should manage the parks, one that makes land preservation the priority and keeps out private business. You're part of this conversation at 800-642-1234. You can give us a call now. Have you visited a national park recently? Did you have a good experience, or was overcrowding a problem during your trip? What do you see? 800-642-1234 is the number to call, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Christopher Ketchum is a freelance writer and author of the book This Land, How Cowboys, Capitalism, and Corruption Are Ruining the American West. His latest piece for Harper's Magazine is called The Business of Scenery. Christopher, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Help us get a sense of just how much visits to national parks have gone up, like the problems that they've caused, too. You use the word smothered.
Anybody who visits a national park, and surely your listeners have, will know the experience of overcrowding, traffic jams, idling cars, spewing pollution. A visit to a national park is not terribly fun when you bring in all those factors of overcrowding. You mentioned the figures. Yeah, the numbers of people coming into national parks now are skyrocketing, and I argue in the Harper's piece that National Park Service has done nothing to stem the tide. And in fact, the National Park Service doesn't seem to have any policy with regard to visitation. It seems that their only policy is that more visitation is better, and that there is no carrying capacity to parks. There is no limit to visitation. I think the public ultimately will feel otherwise for the reasons that I described a moment ago, because overcrowding is not fun.
Right. But what about this idea, though, that national parks exist so that people have access, so that it isn't, specific private land or just elite groups who get to visit them? It's open to everybody.
Right. Well, so in the 1916 Organic Act, there is a contradiction built into the mandate of the National Park Service. On the one hand, it's supposed to preserve the parklands. On the other hand, it's supposed to provide for the enjoyment of the public. The problem is that we've gotten to a point where providing for the enjoyment of the public is hampering the other mission, which is preserve the wildlife, preserve the lands, preserve the biotic communities. And so that's what we have to reckon with now. We have to figure out whether we're going to have to actually limit visitation in order to preserve, these dwindling wildlands that we have in this country.
Well, you write about a 1978 law that required parks to have plans for visitor limits, but it sounds like nobody's really followed through on that. What's the status there?
Yeah, that was the National Parks and Recreation Act of 1978, and it did require that parks draw up carrying capacity plans, quote-unquote measures for the preservation of the area's resources, the area being, a park unit, quote, implementation commitments for visitor carrying capacities. Almost no parks have done so. And so, yeah, they're in violation of the law, but no one's enforcing that law. Congress hasn't come down to the parks and said, hey, why aren't you establishing carrying capacities for parks and then acting accordingly to meet those carrying capacities?
We're talking with Christopher Ketchum, who is a writer who's written a piece called The Business of Scenery, Why America's National Parks Need New Management. And the lines are open for you at 800-642-1234. Do you think national parks should have limits to the number of visitors who can be there at one time or a certain number throughout the entire year? What was your last experience like at a national park? Tell us what you saw. Did it work for you or was it overcrowded? Were things beautiful or did you see a lot of pollution? Help us understand what you've seen by giving us a call at 800-642-1234. And Christopher, you suggest in your piece that we could use a new agency to manage the parks or at least put some additional rules in place to handle what's happening. What's your vision?
In the article, I call it the Department of Ecological Sanity. So if you look at visitation to national parks in the context of tourism, right? Tourism produces something like 8 to 10% of world greenhouse gas emissions. So if we're going to tackle climate change, if we're going to try to stumble our way through the horrors, the coming horrors of climate catastrophe, then we should probably eliminate tourism, given its carbon footprint. Right. So if the National Park Service really cared about that ecological question, just that discrete question of carbon, the carbon footprint of humanity, it would definitely establish limits to visitation. As I write in the piece, if the National Park Service cared about how overvisitation, overcrowding, and especially the presence of too many automobiles terrorizes wildlife and kills wildlife, then it would limit the number of automobiles. But the National Park Service doesn't care about those things. What it cares about is getting more people into the parks so as to fund the parks. And part of this is bureaucratic survival. Every bureaucracy wants to survive, and so it wants to have revenue. Now, the solution for all this, of course, is if the Congress would just fully fund national parks and we didn't have to depend on visitation and visitor fees. That would be the way forward. Just fund the national parks. And then the Park Service would not be this bedraggled, squalid creature constantly seeking after more and more people coming to the land that it manages.
We've seen people talk as administrations change or as Congress changes hands between the two major political parties that maybe something will be done now. So is this a Republican or a Democratic fault that you see, or is it everybody right now?
Both parties are implicated in the overcrowding of the parks. In fact, in the article, I interviewed a veteran Park Service official who was saying how things were actually worse under Obama in terms of National Park Service policy, really violating the spirit, the preservation spirit of the 1916 Organic Act. I quote this guy, Frank Buono, saying that, let me see if I can find it, saying basically that, don't believe for a minute that everything was wonderful under Obama. There are a lot of people who say that under Trump we have been living in hell, but under Obama we were in heaven. The effect is to create a completely false understanding of history that says if you vote a certain way for the Democratic Party, all will be fine with the parks. To be honest with you, there was more systemic damage to the park system under Obama than there has been under Trump. That's a guy who worked for 40 years for the Park Service.
Wow. And what does that tell us then about, or maybe nothing, about what we might see under the Biden administration?
I don't think we'll see any change. Yeah. I don't think there'll be any improvement. In terms of recreation as this monstrous force that it is in the parks and the public lands generally, no, I don't think there's going to be any improvement or change.
We're talking with writer Christopher Ketchum about his piece in Harper's Magazine about how overcrowding has become a problem for the national parks and Christopher's new idea that the parks deserve new management. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you felt like you've been able to access national parks? Do you think we should put limits on who can go or how many people can go? What about state parks? What's your experience been as you have been looking to push outdoors during this pandemic? You can call us now at 800-642-1234. Still time for your question or your experience, or you can post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. This conversation continues here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. We're talking with Christopher Ketchum, freelance writer and author of a piece in Harper's Magazine called The Business of Scenery, Why America's National Parks Need New Management. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think that there are some issues at the national parks? Do you see a way to solve it? Do you agree with Christopher's idea that there should be new management of national parks? Or do you have an idea of your own? Maybe you're happy with things the way they are. Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Christopher, you did an extensive job of explaining what you think the National Park Service does not believe in. So what does the National Park Service believe in? Talk more about the idea of profit-driven practices.
Well, one of the problems in the parks is the concessionaire system. So you've got companies like Zantara and Aramark that operate hotels and trinket shops, restaurants, and the like. And these public-private partnerships have on the one side a corporation that wants to make as much money as possible. And the way to make as much money as possible when you're running a hotel or a restaurant or a trinket shop is to cram the people in on a conveyor belt. And so with these partnerships that the Park Service has degraded itself with, there are pressures on a government agency that should be regulating for the public good to regulate for these private interests, so that they can make more and more profits. And at the same time, you've got gateway communities outside the national park. So, for example, in Utah, where I used to live, Moab, Utah, the entire business community is dependent on more and more visitation to Arches National Park, which is 2 miles outside of Moab. Do you think that the business community in the of Moab is ever going to advocate for fewer visitors? Of course not. And so you have incredible pressure coming to bear on the Park Service from the business communities in the gateway, in those gateway towns outside the parks. So, the National Park Service is under a lot of pressure to not preserve the land outside of the profit system.
Because this is a real dilemma. These aren't people on either side who don't have things that are important to advocate for. I mean, these businesses, these communities do rely on that economic advantage. And at the same time, national parks, people don't want national parks overrun. We have a responsibility to protect our land. And this is a struggle that some leaders within NPS have realized even from the beginning, 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's right. Very early on, you had Robert Sterling Yard, who was an early employee of the National Park Service, who was saying, and again, I'll read from the essay here. He was talking about there are three primary threats to the park system. And here I quote, one, from industrial companies that want to use the parks for profit. So here I am interjecting. So Zantara, Aramark, concessionaires, right? Two, from communities which want to attract profitable crowds by offering local national parks developed and maintained at the expense of the national government. Okay, so gateway communities. And three, from enthusiasts for unlimited recreational expansion. Now, in that third sector or category, you would include groups like the Outdoor Industry Association or companies like Patagonia or REI or Kelty or the Outdoor Alliance. You know, these are all trade groups or companies that, again, depend on constant expansion of recreation for profit. So you will never hear from the Outdoor Industry Association, you'll never hear from the likes of Patagonia, hey, just let's have fewer people visiting our national parks, please. Of course not, because that would ruin the bottom line. So really the question is, are we going to protect our parks for the interests of future generations, for the interests of the wildlife that live in the parks, for the broad public interest, which according to guys like Robert Sterling Yard in the first years of the National Park Service said would be to educate people in the cosmos that you experience in nature, this sense of the enormity of the natural world and the smallness and almost insignificance of mankind in the context of the cosmos. So are we going to regulate and protect parks for that purpose, or are we going to regulate and protect parks, or not? Rather, are we going to deregulate and unprotect parks so that select people can make money? So that's the question before us. And, you know, given our history, I think I know the answer, which way we're going to go.
Christopher, thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Christopher Ketchum is a freelance writer, and we talked with him about overcrowding and other problems with the national park system and why he thinks the park system needs new management. You can find a link to his piece on those concepts at WPR.org/Central Time.